My name's Coach Maria, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Joel, it's been a while.
It's been a long time, and a lot has happened, to say the least.
A ton has happened, Joel. A ton has happened. Like we haven't been on since Champions League. Coaches have been hired. Coaches have been fired.
Yeah,
a lot to talk about. This might be one of those hour and a half shows, Joe.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We usually do, but today even more.
Yeah,
the international roundups really caused a lot of stir. Everyone's getting, ready for a, I guess, fall winter World Cup in our part of the world. So it's part of what's keeping us busy. It's part of what's keeping players and a lot more stuff in the headlines, injuries, and who's going to be ready. So we're going to talk about that a lot today as we get into this, out of this Nations League, into the World Cup. Yeah. I'm obviously wearing this as a ha-ha because it's like, Italy's qualified for the Nations League finals in a group with Germany and England, where England gets relegated to the B division, but Italy's still not going to the World Cup. So it's more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of representation of that. So that's why, let's see if it gets a stir.
I should have left this sweatshirt on the top of the table.
So anyway. You see what I did there? So anyway, yeah. So it's more of that. So I said, might as well, again, a little bit of too little, too late. But anyway, we'll get into that. We have a lot to talk about. We will get right into these topics. We'll look at more around the world. Obviously, we'll look at what's happening internationally and how it's going to affect not only the World Cup with injuries and so on, but also the fixtures that hit the ground running this weekend back in all the big leagues in the world. So with that, I think there's no other way to get into it but just getting right into it. This past international break had a lot to do with all of our countries, especially Canada, who have played in they played in Austria. They played against Qatar. They won 2-0, right? So there's a lot on that. We're going to get into that. We'll end off with Canada before we move on to the league stuff. We're going to look at things as a whole. Reg, the Nations League has to be talked about in this international break with, obviously, the league that we follow a ton. And the English national team. I mean, today, hot off the press, they tied 3-3 against Germany. But in a game where both teams were kind of, England was done. Hadn't scored a goal other than from the penalty spot. Today they get special. Right. Today they do get a goal. Yeah. They actually had a hurricane PK again today, but they actually scored a goal. Let's deal with the English national team. I think there's so much to deal with there. This is something that not only we've talked about, everyone's talked about, pundits all over the world. The Gareth Southgate thing. Is it easy just to pick on him? No, it's easy because it's true, in our opinion. Right? So I'm going to get your opinion and then I'll say mine. But, what is the English national team, what's their outlook going into the tournament? Is there legitimate cause for concern? And just generally, what are your thoughts on, Southgate, his decisions, who he brought, who he didn't bring, what he did during this break?
Well, I don't rate English players as much as some people do. And I know we talk about listening to the pundits and all that stuff. I don't rate the players as highly as they are. To me, England, they're a good team. They have players that are that because you watch the leagues and you see them day in, day out. They're household names, so you automatically think he must be good. So for me, there's a bunch of selection issues that Southgate has made. This is his own mess that he's made himself. So there's about 5 or 6 I was telling you the other day that shouldn't even be going to the World Cup. Where he plays certain players out of position is his own doing as well. So I don't know if he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room, but it's not working. And you saw him play some of the players, in their right positions today, and look what happened. So as far as Southgate goes, we talked about it the other day over the phone. It's too late now. World Cup's in what, 40 days? Yeah, can't get rid of him now.
52 days.
You can't get rid of him now. So you're going to have to keep him throughout the World Cup. But as soon as England goes out, which they will, as soon as they go out, there has to be a search for a new coach.
Yeah. So again, I'm on this page too. I think we've said this for a long time. You know, you've heard me say it, as I wear this again, and we're making jokes about it, but it says European. Yeah, it says European champions, and I think because Gareth Southgate had a lot to do with this, meaning, you know, first hour against Italy, his team was incredible. Mm-hmm. The last 6 minutes, you know, where did they go? You know, there was a not just players, it was, you could tell he was, you know, didn't have an answer. He was playing scared, playing not to lose, playing to protect. And you know what happened? Has much changed? I don't think so. You know, it's not an
easy situation of that game throughout this whole rest of the qualifying for the Nations League.
No doubt. If you talk about, like, you know, has England gotten better as a team, as a squad? And the answer is no. Do they have the talent to compete? They do have the talent. But, you know, Reggie, this is what, you know, we've said before. The talent to compete and the ability to compete and doing it are different. And for myself, I think there's a lack. I just think there's a lack of belief in the manager. I think the players are going to say the right things. I think he's contradicted himself too many times. First of all, tactically, I don't think he's been sharp. So let's say that. I said about the Italy game in Euro and then in the Euro final. We all know it's not, you know, amazing punditry to say he got it wrong. He did. It's been like that ever since. He's had problems with selection. His selection of – he's always said that he was going to play or call players on form. He told – and who were playing. He said who were playing. He's totally gone against that. And I know this is an easy one. Harry Maguire, who got undone again today, gives up a penalty. Again, Maguire, Luke Shaw. There's a lot of players that fall into this. I don't understand. This is not just because of AC Milan thing. I really don't understand the not playing Fikayo Tomori. I don't get it. I really don't understand it. It's just weird to me that he doesn't get a look. Bukayo Saka playing out of position, taking Jack Grealish, like the game before. I thought when he did come on against Italy, he kind of had a bit of buzz, didn't play before. It goes on and on. There's just a style that's an identity that's just not there. And when the game calls and shouts for a change, I don't think he's ready to do it. So I think he's the Achilles heel of the English national team.
I don't know how he got the job in the first place, but anyways. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. He's not tactically. I don't think he's that aware.
I don't think so.
And I think, like you said, I think, you know, when it comes time to make the change, it's 15 minutes too late.
It's too late. It's not the right one. He doesn't show any versatility. It's just change for change. You kind of know who's going to come in. I mean, Ivan Toney.
Yeah.
Tammy Abraham. I mean,
you need a goal and you bring on Maguire.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, there's so much there. And I don't, it's mind boggling. Does it look like piggybacking on or, you know, it's piling on, but it's not piling on. Is it easy to, you know, pick on Southgate? Yeah, he gives you so much to work with. You know,
lots of material.
lots of material. The only thing that I think is saving grace for England, and it's a big one. I think the group is more than manageable. As much as, you know, they're struggling and they're not finding their best team fit and form, they're coming out of that group unless something drastically, majorly goes wrong. England will come out of that group. I think that's the only team. That's one of the only sure bets for me.
is England comes out of that group.
Yeah.
I know anything can happen, but for me, England comes out of that group. And then, you know, Reggie, you just got to get hot. And yeah, can they get hot?
Sure. You saw it in the Euros, right? The hottest team won, right?
Yeah, you can get hot. But, you know, you saw a team in Italy. They were playing really well leading up to this. No one thought they were going to win, but same thing. Whereas England, again, but again, and we've seen this before, right? We've seen Brazil and Argentina go to tough places in CONMEBOL, struggle. I don't remember the year Argentina barely made the World Cup and then, like, you know, goes to the final and stuff. So I get it. I know that this can happen. But I just don't – I think this goes back to this English the player mentality that's like now they've gone back to being afraid again. And I don't think that Southgate has instilled a sense of, you know, we're going to be okay. And maybe now he's saying it. I don't think the players believe him anymore. I think the show's over a bit. I really believe that. I see him trying to fit pieces in. Like this Harry Maguire thing, it makes zero sense to me. Luke Shaw, but he scored today. I don't know, but he's not playing. So he's gone away from his philosophy. So will they turn it around? I think we said it. Because of the group, it'll be cast as okay. So I don't know. Do you think realistically we could see a major turnaround in 55 days with them?
No. He'd have, like I said, only if he's got to make seven different selections on that team. And he's got to play players in the right position, and I don't trust him to do that. So I can't see a turnaround happening. Sorry.
So does he take James Maddison to the World Cup?
I don't. Based on what his past track record of mistakes that he's made, no, he doesn't.
And does he take Trent? Yeah.
Go on.
Does he take TAA?
I don't know, Joey was. And, you know, I'm going to say this, but I really, again, someone I don't rate that highly, but he was, when he was playing last year, he was probably one of the best in the league. He was really hot at the time.
Especially and when you play in a three, take right, Reg?
He didn't take him, so what's that?
Especially if he's playing now this three-man defense, right? Wouldn't he be like a perfect wing back?
Like because you're gonna have some speed on the wings to get forward and get back to help the defense. If you're gonna force Harry Maguire and Eric Dier to play,
you know, and get some balls whipped in and stuff. Again, I think Ivan Toney.
It's right because you can swing balls into Ivan Toney and they'll go after it.
I think it's a big loss. Harry Kane's
really doing, but he doesn't score goals unless they're PKs. Well,
no, I think that's unfair, but I know what you're saying.
He doesn't score, Joe, for England. He doesn't score.
Yeah, I think Reggie, it's more of a for me, it's more because, again, approach and way of play. Because, again, I go back to those little spurts where he does, like Harry Kane links play. He brings people in. But I don't think that they're playing as freely. I go back to the game against Italy, and I'm saying you have this back three of, like, Toloi, Acerbi, Bonucci, you know, I think Bastoni was there. It doesn't matter. Even if you throw him in, how do we not? How is a game plan not to get in behind them and force them to, you know, these big, you know, center backs who've seen better days in terms of their age and lack of pace? You know, get Sterling behind them, get Foden behind them, get players behind them. And it looked too easy. Like this, you know, they kept saying, this is not the best Italy. This is not the best. No doubt. You should be like, this is a Germany team smashed Italy 5-0 earlier in the Nations League.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But again, I'll hold to it. I think England all is going to be forgotten when they get out of the group, because they're going to get out of this group, you know, and then, you know, they win one round of 16 game and it's game on. So, but again, should they be better? Yes. Would England be a lot better off with another manager? Of course. Of course. I just think the pressure is going to be mounting so large. So that's England relegated to division or to Group B in Nations League. What a weird Nations League group. Again, I just said Germany on one of the match days in June beat Italy 5-0. No, not 5-0, 5-2 or whatever, but beat them handily. And then Italy ends up winning the Nations League group, you know, beating England and then beating Hungary, which was a great surprise, who had famous victories over England and Germany. So
that's right.
Really strange, the world of football. But again, the games are so jam-packed. So that's what we saw, right? We saw a Denmark team beat France twice. You know, are we really saying that France isn't going to be there? Of course not. You know, France is going to be more than fine, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. You know, no, a lot of players missing from the French team. There's a lot of players missing from every team. These injuries are happening. The international roundup. And you know, we're going to see a lot of players miss the World Cup. I think Arujo today from Arroyo there, Arujo from Uruguay,
might miss the World Cup. Too?
Yeah. Or like he just pulled out today. So,
too many games. Too many games. Too bunched together. It's a recipe for disaster, Joe.
It is. And we're looking at now they're going to go, these teams are going to go back to their club teams from being on international duty. A lot of players picking up knocks. I mean, let's just speak to, you know, I look at Teo Hernandez, Mike Maignan, Sandro Tonali, just looking at the AC Milan thing. Other teams too. You know, Marcelo Brozovic, Croatia, hurt, muscular injury. I think you said Thomas Partey, hurt, international
duty. Tierney, hurt. Tomiyasu, hurt.
There's a
Ozar, this is, went hurt. Zinchenko, hurt.
Look, we're each talking about our club, and I think if anybody talks about their club, you're going to see those two.
Yeah,
and these games are too bunched together. And that's when we said this. So, again, with our international kind of theme, we talked about this yesterday on the phone. You kind of got to think that a team like, well, club team like PSG that has Neymar of Brazil, Lionel Messi Argentina, Kylian Mbappe France, maybe they're not exerting themselves too much at PSG domestically. Will one of those three lift the World Cup? And you got to think that the odds of those teams, yes, because their nations have a lot of talent, they might be up there, might have a good chance because of what they're not exerting.
It's true. When you're Lionel Messi and you're coming off 64th minute every game or coming on in the 70th, whatever it is, you know, and you're already up four, so maybe I don't have to chase that ball. Maybe I don't have to, if the guy's coming to tackle me, maybe I can just get out of the way of that one. So you're not playing the full 90 at a 1,000 miles an hour. You're going to be fresher. And if your star players are fresher going into that tournament, they have to be favorites to win it.
They got to be. I mean, like Brazil and Argentina and France, those teams just look, you know, the depth is just ridiculous. I mean, Portugal, absolutely, you could say the same. They looked very good against Czechia or the former Czech Republic. So we know what they, you know, have and possess. And, of course, everyone's got the mouth-watering what if, right? Everybody read it this week, you know, I'm sure on social media. You know, if Argentina and Portugal win their group, their paths could meet in the final of the World Cup, which would be, I mean, it would break the internet. We know that. But, again, Argentina, Brazil, I tend to think, you know, both those teams have a big chance because of, you know, what their main players aren't exerting internationally. But this is the thing. It's such a Russian roulette kind of thing. Now players, like, how many players are worried about, you know, not making the flight, the trip?
We talk about guys coming back this week. International breaks over this week. I think everyone's back at their club on Wednesday or Thursday. I mean, most guys are playing again Saturday, Europa and Champions League, and then another game Saturday, and then Europa Champions League, and then another game Saturday. And so it's too bunched together for some players and some leagues. And you're going to see this World Cup. There's going to be some stars that are just like not there. And it's going to be, well, you know, if anybody in Belgium goes there, Kevin De Bruyne gets hurt or something like that. I mean, don't you want to see a World Cup with the best players in it? Of course you do. But the way it's going, Joe, there's going to be a lot of injuries and every team's going to have a major injury.
It's just, you know, we said that it could work two ways. You know, a World Cup being in the middle of the season, you could have players in the best form of their life. Or, like you said, Reggie, they might not even make the trip because of just too many games jammed together. So the solution has to be found. You know, like, again, we say it all the time. If it happens in June, sometimes there's injuries that are there, overall fatigue. So, again, that's why, you know, to win these major tournaments, we say this all the time, you have to, all the chips need to fall in place because of what you just said. You know, you could be going to a tournament without a player that you thought you were going to have, and then he might be fatigued, and he might be carrying a knock and something like that. You know, you got to feel for Marco Reus, Reg. Again, might not make it.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, this is it, right, Joe? This is what we're saying, right? So
it's just
and really, even beyond the World Cup, when the World Cup's finished and the players come back to their club teams. I mean, it's I don't know if they've changed it for England, but I know there's a Christmas program that's three games in 12 days or something like that. I know it's probably not going to be that way this year because of the World Cup. They should get a break, a month break, I think they should get. But even the run-up leading to the end of the season, especially if the league is tight, you're going to see guys dropping from that as well.
And again, that – Reg will lead to, again, different, like, results being different, like a championship won by maybe a team that, you know, survived the, you know, the grind and maybe didn't have as many players hurt. So we don't know this is why this could be the year of the teams. Like, if you look at Germany, you know, like, look who's you know, leading the way there. Like, I mean, you know, I don't put that as the case in England, because, you know, a team like Arsenal, who's a surprise leader right now, but their players are playing in major international teams, right? You have Jesus, you got, you know, Saliba.
Everybody, every starter is on the national team.
Yes, right? So I don't put them in that. But, I mean, like, you look at smaller clubs and so on, right? So there's just too many factors, you know. This will be an interesting year in terms of results. And you're just on that way to get healthy. Players deciding not to get surgeries and making sure that they have a chance to go could be a problem too. Yep. So, I don't know. In terms of international roundup, we talked about the major things with, you know, England. I mean, they're always a conundrum. This, we looked at, again, I think if you're an Italian soccer fan, you would trade this topping of the Nations League table in this group and qualifying for the Nations League finals. You would take a trip to Qatar, no doubt. So frustrating on that, but, you know, you got to be good when it counts the most, right? Yeah. So there's that, but we'll look at that. In terms of that, though, it was nice to see, you know, finally some younger players get a chance. You just wish it would happen earlier. In terms of younger players getting the chance, it's kind of the thing with the Canadian men's national team. So they played against Qatar. Jonathan David scores, and Kyle Larin. That's a great sign when you have your two major strikers or two of your major strikers scoring goals, right, which is good. They do play Uruguay tomorrow. Great match for them. Uruguay, who lost to Iran, you know, in their last international. But, again, you know, Iran's a quality side. They've been qualified for World Cups and so on. Interesting in that game, Reggie, the Canada game. I'm pretty sure people saw it. You saw Jonathan David cover the Nike symbol after he scored. And, you know, I thought about this and I said, it's kind of a horrible look that Nike did not make jerseys specific for the release. Sorry, for the World Cup. What are your thoughts on this, Reg?
Every single team that's going to the World Cup has a new jersey, except Canada. And Nike's trotting the excuse that, oh, well, they're on a three-year program, so they got to keep them for every 3 years. We'll give them a new jersey. Why is that? Is it because we weren't a perennial World Cup participant that you don't feel that the jerseys need we were ever going to make the World Cups? We don't need to have them on a yearly basis, like France gets a new jersey every 6 months.
So, right? Reg, That's what I was going to ask you. So does the federation have to, these federations, obviously the federations, sorry, the brands pay the federation. We get that contract. Yeah. But does the federation have to pay the brand? No, right? I wouldn't think no.
No, the brand comes, well, for, we'll use France as an example. So Nike will come to France. We want to make your jerseys. Okay, well, here's how much it's going to cost for you to make our jerseys for us. And this is what we want. And this is this. We need this warm up and that and that and then. And it goes on and on. That's how it is, right?
Like, why wouldn't they want to, like, you know, hype this up?
I don't know how difficult it is to create a jersey. I mean, how hard is it? Some of the jerseys that Nike's putting out, that white England jersey's horrendous.
What'd you think of their home and their away kit? The red one?
I just saw a little bit of it today. Whatever. I didn't really.
I wasn't a fan of the white one. Yeah.
No. I mean, the same. Portugal has their white jersey's beautiful. Their red jersey's beautiful.
Red. And then the other one is like a little weird. But yeah, the white one's actually nice.
The orange and the blue for the Dutch is beautiful. Like, yeah, New Jersey have a tournament for them.
Yeah, the point is that you're supposed to create that hype. You know, you're going to sell them. I mean,
of course you're going to sell them. But who's going to buy a Canada jersey now? Most people have Canada jersey. Yeah. So they're not going to go out and buy another one.
It's very strange. Surreal to me that happened. But, you know, like, you can tell that our players are up on that. They're astute. They're you know, they're saying, like, hey, take a look at us, recognize us. You know, like, they do feel slighted. This chip on their shoulder, I kind of like it, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's a good thing. They are, you know, speaking their minds, or at least making a statement that way. We'll get back on the pitch. I mean, sorry, Reg.
No, I didn't say anything.
So again, not bad. Two goals from your, you know, two of your top talisman, and going into tomorrow, Jonathan Herdman has some decisions to make, I guess. His team's got to be pretty much set, though, right, Reggie, with maybe one or two that, you know, might make trip, but again, some that might, but none might not. But do you expect any surprises from Jonathan Herdman? I'm sorry, from John Herdman. John Herdman, when he announces his final roster for who goes to the World Cup,
it's got to be close to the team that qualified. It's got to be close. I mean, who do you leave off? Who don't you take? Now, again, it's going to come back to who's injured, because I think Atiba Hutchinson is injured.
Yeah,
I believe. Is that correct?
I think he's nursing something, and you got to think Atiba's going to be on the.
Well, if he's hurt,
then you're right. If he's not able. I mean, the one thing that helps this year is that I believe it's a 26-man roster,
okay,
as opposed to 23.
Oh, maybe there'll be a surprise the other way, someone that you might not have thought was going to make it, right? So.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, sure, maybe a surprise, but not so much. Ikone goes, the young lad.
I
think he shows a lot. I think John Herdman's high on him. I am too, actually, to tell you the truth. He showed me a lot. Yeah, a lot of promise, a lot of, you know, fearlessness, athleticism, playing a really good year with CF Montreal.
Yep.
CF Montreal, I believe. So, I mean, I think that might be the one. Is Cavallini on the way? I don't know. I don't know how he's going to go that way, but Cavallini has experience.
Yeah, he's got a good one.
Right? Go meaning go to Qatar?
No, yeah, he has to be on the plane. I don't think we really make that many different changes, Joe. I mean, like, it'll be one or two, maybe one. Like, one, I'd be shocked, but the same team has to go, man. Guys like Cavallini and even Atiba Hutchinson, I know we spoke about him a couple of minutes ago, but, you know, just the fact that, you know, this is going to be his only time to go to the World Cup, and just for that, he has to go, right? So,
yeah, and the expanded roster.
Right. Yeah, so even if he doesn't go and he's not the, you know, the player you thought he was going to be at that time in that tournament, he still has to go, right?
Yep. And in terms of that, how about our guys, our three guys that we gave you an interview with long ago?
Yeah.
They are poised to be major cogs on that team. And that's Kamal Miller, CF Montreal, Alistair Johnston, and of course, you know, Dane Sinclair, who looks like he will make the roster too. So
all three of them are going, and two of those guys are starters. So
pretty good. And we're proud to say that we told you. Yeah, we're proud to say that we gave you guys some insight on that, you know, before they really blew up. So that's, you know, kind of what we try to do here. And on that note, we'll move on. We always want to tell you to look at what's next. So Alistair Johnston's brother, Malcolm Johnston, who is currently the captain of Reggie's favorite college team. No,
Carlos favorite
college team. First, no, but Malcolm Johnston, who is Alistair's brother, is doing really great things at the University of Maryland, perennial national powerhouse, doing some great things there. Captain of the team, obviously nationally ranked, cool as ice PKs lately, and playing, you know, great soccer there, and probably will be in the MLS draft, if not this year, the next, and all that stuff. He's, you know, on the come up. We know that. Alistair kept saying, you know, he's better than me, and Alistair's doing okay, I say, for himself. So look out for Malcolm Johnston. And again, shout out to the Vaughn High Performance guys, you know, Patrice Geyser, Anthony Vidori, and Jordan Feliciano. They had a lot to do with Malcolm's development. So, and also Stefan Capetti, another player, ex-Vaughn too, played with Malcolm. He's also at the University of Maryland doing some great things. Good for Steph. And also, you know, another one to look out for. And there's a lot of you guys. I'm just going to highlight a couple. Christian Curdy at Syracuse, starting every game there. Another player from here and from Vaughn as well. But a lot of guys coming and doing good things from other clubs. I'm just highlighting those three because we did have the connection with Alistair and so on. Reg, a lot to talk about internationally. I think we did a good job there. Let us know your thoughts. We move to the Champions League and what has been happening in the Champions League. And we missed a lot. There was a lot happening.
I don't even remember.
I know. We had a manager get fired. We'll talk about that. And Thomas Tuchel. Yeah. But in the Champions League, we have stuff happening like, oh, gee, I don't know. Juventus.
I knew you were going to start there.
Well, that's, you know, and I do have a theory on them, how they're going to probably, you know, this crash will help them come back a bit. But in Champions League, we have, you know, Chelsea at the bottom of their group, right? Again, lots of time. They got two games against AC Milan too, but, you know, the Salzburg team that is very hard to beat, Chelsea at the bottom of that group, you know,
another team that's lacking ideas. I watched the Salzburg Chelsea game, and it was just, I don't know, man. There's something missing. There's something missing. Even with the coaching changes, there's something missing. There's no urgency. There's no feeling that these guys are going to beat us if we're not careful. And you know, I don't get that from any Chelsea team right now.
You know, Red, it's true, and it does speak to. I mean, look at that roster. Look at Chelsea's roster. And if you think that, you know, not you, but people, if we think the coaching doesn't count, and it does. I mean, like Chelsea's 18 months from winning the Champions League, right, Reg, whatever it was. That's right. So, you know, it just makes you, you know, wonder how, you know, finicky the world of football is. Yep. You know, they're at the bottom of a group. I mean, mind you, as I'm looking at it now, of course, it's a tight group. AC Milan with top in the group with 4. Dinamo Zagreb with 3. Salzburg with 2. Chelsea with 1. Everything to play for. I mean, this could be – it could totally go flip the other way. Chelsea top in the bottom.
It's not 2 games, right? So
yeah, absolutely. But a couple of teams I want to highlight. First of all, I mean, if I told you Club Brugge is top of their group, you know, with Leverkusen – Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and Porto. I mean, again, it's 6-3-3-0. Lots to go for, but, you know, international football. Look at that. Napoli, Liverpool, Ajax. Napoli top in the group, you know, in a group in Liverpool, and looked out of this world against Liverpool.
I listened to that game. I was at work, and I had it on in the earbuds. And just the way that the commentators were mentioning the game, it sounded like Liverpool was dead on their feet.
It was something I watched the game after.
Yeah.
And in Napoli, and again, I'll get to when Napoli played AC Milan. We'll talk about that game in Italy. And this, they're just playing at a, and we talk about teams that don't, lacking ideas. Chelsea right now lacking ideas. Juventus lacking ideas. Big major clubs, Juventus and Chelsea. It's the opposite. Napoli has clear ideas. And Kravishkala, I killed his name, but yeah, and that's as good as they're going to get. Kravadona, you know, the Georgian starlet, you know, he's just part of it. They're just playing a certain way, a certain style, a certain thing. So what do we take from this, Reggie? Champions League football is hard. It's hard. It's tough, right?
Best tournament in the world.
You know, you mentioned Salzburg, you know, and people said, when high people text me, you know, Reggie, you always get this. Salzburg, man. And I'm like, hey, guys, that's a good team. That's a very good team. And true to form, every game that I've seen them play, even the ones without AC Milan, I watched highlights, they've done really good play.
Value for the money, right? So
absolutely. You know, what about Sporting? Sporting has been topping their group.
Yeah.
You know, and
the Portuguese team, again, the Portos, the Benficas, the Sportings. I mean, those are tough games.
To beat. Right, tough to beat. And then you look at Bayern Munich, Reggie, top in their group, yes, in Champions League, but like looking elementary, looking human in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's Champions League football. You know, everybody's in it. I'm looking at the groups. Everybody has a chance still, which is great. You know,
two games in.
Right?
Lots of soccer to go. Lots to go.
Tons of matches. So again, nice to see it being so competitive as I'm looking at it. And again, that comes and hits the ground running in a week and a half, right? So lots to look at there. So we're going to get our predictions as who comes out. We'll do that in the next week, but look at, you know, who's going to come out of groups. Again, there's obvious ones. And again, there's teams that just have this, I would call new pedigree in the Champions League. So it's absolutely great to see there. We're going to end off with the Prem, Reggie. I want to move to Italy. Are we moving too fast for you, Reg? Is this okay? Something in Champions League?
Okay. No, I wanna actually end with TFC, if you don't mind.
We will. Sure will, for sure.
So I have a couple of things to say about that.
Okay, we'll get to there. And probably listen to our predictions from a couple months ago. All of us were wrong, but anyhow.
That's right.
In Italy, Reggie, the table looks as weird as it can be, but weird in a good way, right? The top of the group, top of the table in Italy, without you checking, is
top of the league without me checking. It's not Juventus. I don't know who's top of the league.
Atalanta.
Oh, it's Napoli. They're tied for first.
With Atalanta, Atalanta, on goal difference.
The
table is Napoli, Atalanta with 17 points, Udinese with 16. Mm-hmm. Udinese with 16, Reggie, I'll say that again. Lazio with 14 and Milan with 14. And on goal difference, Milan's actually in fifth. But again, 3 points out of first. What's the point, Reggie? Wow, what a table. And, you know, I remember watching the first week, so AC Milan struggling against Udinese end up winning 4-2. Well, since then, all Udinese has done is, you know, dismantled Jose Mourinho's Roma. Sorry, Max, Soccer Max, 4-0, and beat Inter 3-1 in the last game. So
that's right.
Again, the parity is there. It's nice to see. You're looking at Atalanta with, you know, losing players again, but there's Gasperini again with no European football. Could they be this kind of, you know, upset team? Long, long way to go, Reggie, for sure. Highlight the match before the international break for me, which, man, great match. Horrible result if I'm an AC Milan fan. But great match in terms of, I think Arrigo Sacchi said it best. He said, this looked like a Premier League game. I think if you're saying that about a game that's not in the Premier League, it says it bodes well for the quality of football.
Right.
All right. If the Premier League is fast, if it's at, you know, high paced, exciting, quality, that's what we saw with Napoli and AC Milan. And this is without AC Milan, without Rafael Leao, and Napoli without Victor Osimhen.
That's right. You know,
both top guns, but great football. And again, there's a match where AC Milan loses 2-1. I thought really unlucky to lose because they played really well. Napoli capitalized on their chances and are full value for the win, no doubt. But it was a great match of football. And for losing a game, you're like, that's not too bad. And I know you could say that about the one loss on your team's record because they didn't play bad in the game against United. So it's kind of that same thing. Great match for Serie A. Napoli is doing something really special. It's nice to see. Young starlet and Kreshval. I'm going to kill his name, Reggie.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, people are going to kill me. So anyway, Kravadona. Kravashkeli, I think it is. You're right. So, but again, he's getting the headlines, but team is playing well. And it's nice to see. It was a great game of football. Really enjoyable game. You'll be surprised to hear that Olivier Giroud scored for AC Milan. Timeless.
Shocking.
So, again, Udinese, Atalanta, really pushing the limits in Serie A with, you know, making things exciting. So, great to see. Again, these teams that you expect to be there, you wish they would take a page out of some of these teams' notebook. Play brave, play expansive. So, we know that Allegri's on the hot seat every week. But, you know, he's probably not going to go because they don't want to pay him. So, we know the Juve family feud, if you will, or the soap opera. I'm saying this, Reg, I'll leave you with this. I'm not so sure that Simone Inzaghi of Inter is not also. I think he's on the hot seat too, Reg. It's hotter than we think with him.
Yeah, there's a lot of coaches that are on the hot seat. Well, coming off the season they had last year, three losses, Joe, already this season for Inter.
Yeah, and giving up goals that are, you know, so – I don't know. Yeah. And again, Reggie, when they get Lukaku back and this international break will help them, I agree. But just look for that. I think that's a hot seat.
They're
and
lost,
I
can't say Brozovic, though, right?
That's big, big. I don't know. I did say this year, Reggie. I don't know why this Lazio thing. Maybe Sarri's finally got something going. Just look for that. We'll see. But again, good to see Atalanta, Udinese. You know, good football teams playing proper. Don't count them out. They might. I'm not saying they can win this, but I think they'll be around longer than people think. So, with that being said, Reggie, I know that the games get fast and furious this weekend again. Right away on Saturday, we move to the Premier League. Lots of storylines. So before we get to teams, let's get to storylines. I talked to you about this, and it really bugged me. So Graham Potter obviously leaves Brighton and is appointed the manager of Chelsea Football Club. The person who took over Chelsea Football Club, at Brighton, is Roberto De Zerbi, manager of Reggie's favorite Serie A team, the green and black of
Sassuolo.
Right, Sassuolo, Sassuolinese. And, did a great job with them, right, Reggie? Look at the football he's played. Went to Shakhtar, obviously because of the crisis in Ukraine, had to leave, but was doing a great job in a team like Sassuolo, playing and building from the ball, from the back, and exciting football. Scamacca, Raspadori, Berardi, players that are being bought and sold in other places and so on. Here's my issue. So he gets this job at Brighton, and all I hear on Talk Sport and this and that, Graham Souness say, he doesn't know the English game. Why would they bring him in? Doesn't know the game. Doesn't know the English game. Doesn't know our game. What are your thoughts on this, Reggie?
Well, first of all, whenever Graham Souness talks, my ears close. Because he's just a bitter old man, former player, bitter, bitter guy. I don't know what his problem is. But everything people like, he hates. And he's just one of those guys. It doesn't matter. Everyone in the world can get $1 million and he'll be talking about, but you have to pay tax. He's always looking for the downside of it. So that's the first thing for Graham Souness. And I know we talked about this the other day over the phone as well, but what is the English game? Define the English game. What is that?
This is what bothered me with this. And people say, well, Joe, you're just saying that because De Zerbi's Italian. No, I say it because De Zerbi's a good manager. And look, roll the tape, as we always say. Go back. Reggie, who did I say I really enjoy as a manager? I said Graham Potter. Remember I was telling you that, Reggie, last year? I like Graham Potter. He's an English manager. What has he done? He said, people say, what has Zerbi done with it? Well, you know, Graham Potter started in Sweden, lower tiers. It's a great story, actually. I love that he's earned this opportunity. He's earned it. He's done amazing work, you know, and work.
So where does Graham Souness want the next coach to come from?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, where would you like someone to get a chance? And I think it's so. I think it's a really backward way of thinking. If the most forward thinking and most, you know, the Premier League is the league in the world, which we always say and always agree, it's a really backward way of thinking, and I don't like it. You know,
bitter old men.
Yeah, and I think you know, when we talk about why an English national team struggles so much, is because the pressure that is put on is almost unbearable. You know, almost unbearable. So, I just think it's a backward way of thinking. I think we're better than that. Like I said, you know, it's the scrutiny, it's the media in England. I get it. It's part of it. Listen, I get it. I understand that Graham Souness on TalkSport is like Simon Jordan. It's sensationalism too. We get it. I understand that. It makes good, you know.
Yeah, it makes sound good listening, right? So you're going to get people clicking and listening and talking. We're talking about it now, right? So
no doubt, for sure. I just think that we've passed that. And I do wish De Zerbi well. I think he's a good manager. I think he deserves a chance.
Of course.
I look at managers, like I said, Graham Potter has done amazing work, you know, and it's great that he is getting an opportunity at a big club. Not at the expense of Thomas Tuchel. We can all agree on that. That was ridiculous. And that's what's going to bring me to the next thing. So, again, yeah, you know, kind of bug. Like, it's just kind of, you know, I expected it, but, you know, it bothered me a little bit. Where does Thomas Tuchel end up next, Reggie?
TFC, hopefully, but if not.
What do you think? Where, I mean, world-class manager? Does he check that box? Absolutely.
Well, if Juve wants to get rid of Allegri, and I know you said they don't want to pay him, but something there has to change. It's been like that ever since he got back, Allegri. It's been like that. Nothing's going to change if he's going to stay there. You mentioned to me when you watch the Juventus games, he doesn't even look interested as a coach.
I think he's just daring them to fire him. But.
So maybe something happens there, and Tuchel might be the next guy to step in. Maybe he's the next coach of a national team. Maybe he goes that way. I don't know what club he could go to. It would have to be a high profile club. Now that he's coached PSG and Chelsea, he can't go back and coach. No disrespect to any other team, but he can't go back and coach, you know, Wolves or Villa or something like that, right? So I don't know where he can go, because the Wolves coach looks like he's on his way out too. So I don't know. Yeah.
I have the bomb that might set things off here.
Okay.
Would you see Thomas Tuchel taking over for Eric Ten Hag?
United? No.
Maybe not this year, but at the end of the year?
No. I don't like United at all.
Really?
I hate their fans. Their fans are stupid. I don't like them. But
tell me what you really think.
You got to give Ten Hag the same opportunity Arteta had. And I mean, you have to give him time. You have to give him a couple of windows to get the guys that he wants in.
So I said the end of the season.
They won't get rid of him at the end of the season. They shouldn't. They can't.
You say they get a fair shot. Okay.
You have to give him 2-3 windows. After 2 or 3 windows of spending all the money and bringing the players in, and you're still garbage, then that's different.
Because it's got to be high profile, right?
Getting rid of Ten Hag, huh?
It's got to be high profile, right? So the other one I can see is, does Carletto leave at the end of this year and Tuchel go to Real Madrid? Maybe.
It's got to be something like that. It has to be. Yeah. You know, maybe, I don't know, Diego Simeone goes and coaches Argentina or something like that, and Tuchel can take over Atletico. But he can't go back and take over a mid-table team or a mid-level team. It's got to be one of those teams that you go into a soccer store and their jerseys are on the wall.
Yeah, so I think it's probably more likely that it's going to be Real Madrid at the end of the year. Like, I don't know. I don't know if Ten Hag, if Tuchel takes a job this year, even if people get fired.
No, I wouldn't take a job this year. You have to pay me.
Yeah,
I'll sit here until for a couple of years. You pay me, and then maybe by that time, Inzaghi's gone, right? You can go coach Inter, something like that.
Yeah, I think more. You're right, but I think more the Real Madrid thing. I don't know if Carlo Ancelotti has much left there in terms of like, what else do you want me to do?
You can't do anything. You can't do much more there.
Yeah, right. I just think, what more can he do? So I don't know. That's kind of what I think. I'm with you, Reggie. He can't take a job. It's got to be high profile. You don't just go into a. He's earned that right. He's managed top clubs in the world, won the Champions League,
That's right.
So this week in the Premier League, Reggie, and there's a little bit of a, is there a big game coming up or something? What do you think?
Wolves Villa for the relegation battle, I think.
Reggie, I was thinking of when I should wake up and get going on this one. So what do you think, Reg? What's the big match of the weekend in the Premier League?
Well, I watched the women play in the North London Derby on Saturday, and they beat them 4-0.
48,000 people at the stadium. Right.
In the Emirates, packed. And they won 4-0. I don't see Arsenal doing that to Tottenham, but again, it's going to be like this for the rest of the season, Joe. It's based on who can play.
Early morning, but it's 7:30 a.m. It's the North London Derby. Obviously, we're joking around here, but it's great way to it's a great way to get right back into club soccer. The international break would be over. It's Arsenal, it's Tottenham, and I believe it is at the Emirates, correct, Reg?
Last game was at Brentford, so yeah, it's at the Emirates.
Yeah, so that's huge. The odds are saying obviously that Arsenal wins the game, but I mean it is a derby, it's coming off an international break. We don't know. Do you have a prediction?
No prediction.
Do you want to make a prediction?
No prediction. I got to see the lineup, Joe. Partey doesn't play.
Yeah.
Zinchenko doesn't play.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point, too. Does Tottenham have anybody missing? I don't know. I don't think they do. Or I know Richarlison scored a brace against Ghana, right?
He did.
That must have been really fun for you, Reg.
Yeah, I mean, one of the players I dislike the most in the world.
So. Reggie does enjoy Brazil, right? He likes Brazil.
I watched the game. They're going to be a problem in the World Cup. Yeah. Believe me. And they didn't even bring half the guys that they're going to take with them. So
I think they're going to be more than a problem, Reggie. I told you, I see Brazil and Argentina, one of them winning the World Cup. So I know that's not going out on a limb because you can always pick those two, but. Yeah. I just think this year they just really looked apart.
Really good.
Yeah, so North London Derby, 7:30 a.m. our time here in this part of the world, but great way to start the weekend. Again, obviously, Reggie would say yes if, the result goes away. It's a great way to begin the weekend. If it doesn't, we've all been there. It ruins your weekend.
It does.
Trust me, I know that, right? But so the North London Derby goes. I mean, man, is that like – as a neutral, amazing game to start the weekend. Liverpool Brighton, I like that one too. But obviously, it's the North London Derby. We will. I know that's a good point. I would love to make a prediction, but you got to see the lineup. So, but you got to think that Arsenal's going to come out and want to, impress at home. I see goals in this game. I think both teams have great attacks. Players are in form. Richarlison, Son, Kane. I mean, Gabriel Jesus is. Playing fantastic, right? So I know that'll be an exciting match. And of course, Reggie, on Sunday, if we have North London Derby on Sunday, we got another tiny little derby too.
Where, in England?
Yeah.
Oh, is it United City?
The Manchester Derby.
United City, that's right. That's Sunday? Sunday at 11:30, right?
9 a.m.
Oh, 9 a.m., really? Not the prime time. Okay.
And Sunday, so...
Wow, honestly, is that a game that doesn't have the luster it used to have? City should walk all over them, but you never know, right?
It should be a more than interesting game. Yeah. I'm looking for, wow. I mean, as a neutral, that's great. So again, predictions are hard because we don't know who's going to be there, but I mean, you'd be hard pressed to pick against City in this one, but
I'm picking City.
Yeah. I think those are sure bets, Reg. Yeah. Pick City. I think you're okay with that. In Serie A, at La Liga. La Liga has also some matches, but just some things to look for in Serie A. Some matches again will be Inter and Roma. Nice. Should be a great match that is on Saturday, but that's probably the match clue, as they say. So the key match of the weekend. And again,
we didn't talk about Madrid derby that was played a week right before international break. Atletico Real, great game.
And of course, Reggie, they just keep rolling. Is Real Madrid? Can anybody I don't know, Reggie. Are they? They're just unbeatable right now.
They're going to win the league again. And like you said, Ancelotti is like, all right, enough now. If they win Champions League and win the league, like what else is there for him to do, man?
Well, I was going to ask, do we not see them? Like, are they not in your top two or three to win the Champions League?
Well, they have to be, Joe.
They got to be, right?
Have to be.
I mean, they're just... I mean,
they kept the ones that won in the Champions League last year. How can they not be favorites?
And this Vinny Jr., man, like, he is just, I don't know. He's
playing for fun.
He's getting better every week, Reg.
Playing for fun.
Better every week. Yeah.
Out there toying with people, man.
So, Big Ben's is hurt, but I mean, again, I think, that they should have enough. So they have this weekend big matches in La Liga. I'm looking here, Reggie. Sevilla, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Almeria. I think it's not as high profile as the other leagues. Of course, not as London, Manchester Derby, and North London Derby. But, teams looking. I mean, look, Real Madrid plays Getafe. I mean, no, that's 2 weeks. Sorry. Osasuna should be okay. Barcelona, Mallorca. You'd have to say that, things should go a certain way. But again,
never know.
International break, they don't always do that, so right. we'll get going with that. The thing that I want to touch base before we move on to the last topic of TFC, Reggie, is the Bundesliga. There's something happening in the Bundesliga, Reggie, and it's not exactly if I told you that Bayern Munich had not won in three games in the Bundesliga, would you believe me?
I would not, Joe.
Well, they have not won in three games.
It's shocking, Joe. What is that because of?
I gotta say boredom. What else are you gonna call it?
I don't know.
What else are you gonna say to that, Reg?
I don't have an answer, Joe. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
That's gotta be the most shocking thing. This is Bayern Munich, Reg. The top of the table. Bayern Munich, Reggie, is in third place.
Sorry. By how many points?
Sorry, Reggie. Fifth place, 5 points out of first.
But Joe, like we always say, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Top of the table in the Bundesliga, Reggie. You got one guess. Who's tops the table?
Wolfsburg.
No, sir.
What color is their jersey?
Reggie, Wolfsburg's in 17th place, by the way. Relegation. Union Berlin.
Who's Union? Oh my God, they're in first, eh?
17 points. Borussia Dortmund, 15. Freiburg, yes, you heard it. Freiburg, 14. Wow. Third. Hoffenheim, 13. Bayern Munich. Yes, sir.
Stranger things have happened, buddy.
I think bold prediction, right? I think Bayern Munich is going to be.
Yeah, I think they'll make the Champions League.
So we're going to end our pod today with talking about TFC. So TFC, a lot of people, we were hoping that they would make the playoffs. We did say there's a lot of ifs. Unfortunately, the best thing that happened with TFC this year was the hype, the great goals that were scored by, Crescito, Insigne, Bernardeschi, and so on. Unfortunately, everything else just didn't fall TFC's way. Nice to see Mark Anthony Kay back, but hopefully he gets to his best. But TFC didn't quite live up to it, maybe just didn't have enough time. What are your thoughts on TFC, Reg? I know you wanted to talk TFC.
Bradley's got to go.
Manager?
Both.
Okay.
He can go up. He's the sporting director and the coach, I believe. He can go be the sporting director if he wants, but you got to bring in another coach. So what I watch when these guys are playing, and it's like, again, no urgency whatsoever. That Atlanta game was disgusting, Joe. I don't know if you watched it.
I did, but do you think, Reggie, it's just the fact of they're just not good enough in a lot of places? We said that. They're just not good enough.
Where aren't they good, Joe? Center backs are terrible. Okay, I get it. And you bring in Daniil Henry, which I don't know. I don't know if that's the right move, but okay. Yeah. And Mavinga has personal issues. He hasn't played in 3 or 4 games. Okay, fine, whatever. You got to replace the goalies. You got to get 2 new center backs. I don't know if Larea is going to come back next year. I don't know. You got to get a new defensive midfielder. You got to get a striker.
So good a lot luck. To do.
Good luck.
Yeah.
The and good none thing of them about, can be designated. So,
no, they got room for one more.
How?
There's
Crescito designated?
Sorry?
Is Crescito designated? Or Jimenez?
I think it's just 2. I think they just have Bernadeschi and Insigne.
I thought Jimenez was designated.
No, I believe they have the 1 spot left. I think they're going to fill it next year.
Well, whatever it is, it can't be in the attack because they have to find a way to keep the goals out of the net first because that back is ridiculous.
Small detail. Yeah, Reggie, we've mentioned this a lot. There's a lot of problems that need to be addressed here. You know, this is not going to be a overnight fix. They got to do this offseason has got to be offseason full of work. The good news, as you know too, Reggie, we follow the league a little bit, is, you know, you can from season to season elevate it. But this is Toronto, and it's nice that we have the hype back and these stars are playing, but you got to win and you got to fix those other areas.
Got to win.
And if you're relying on Michael Bradley to play all those minutes, it's just not going to happen at his age. There's a lot of help that needs to be happening. You said something pretty interesting, though. Wow. You know, for Bob Bradley to move upstairs, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't think Bob Bradley's a problem, but I would love to just see him work upstairs and bring in a manager. Who do you think he might bring in?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Fancelotti leaves. He loves Canada. Bring him in. I don't know. But
you know what? I'd love to see here, Reg. I'd love to see somebody here that we mentioned before.
Who? Tuchel.
You got it. What about Robin Fraser?
It would be a good hire, Joe, but how are you going to get him out of there?
Yeah. I think we're saying I do think Bob Bradley comes back as manager, Reggie, because I think it's, you know, what you said about giving other managers like a window and more time. I think he will want to have more control.
He brought in those guys. He brought in Bernadeschi and Insigne and Crescito. He brought all of those guys in already.
Yeah,
I think in million-dollar players like that once in one season. And I get what you're saying, to give him time to do it, that's fine. But what do you see is going to change?
Yeah, I think the other holes were too massive, Reg. I think, no disrespect to the young Canadians he tried to fill those spots with, but they weren't ready, you know, to play game in and game out. I think he gets a reprieve from management because of the injuries, you know, like Mark Anthony was hurt and so on. I'm not saying I agree that he shouldn't maybe move on, but I think he's going to be in place. That's what I think. I think that's it. You've mentioned it. The goalkeeper and center back spots have to be addressed yesterday. You know, it just wasn't good enough in those positions. Lack of consistency, major mistakes.
You play well and lose, Joe. I got no problem. Unlucky. No problem with it. But these guys give up, Joe. They give up.
Yeah.
I just don't think
some of these players, Reggie, like I said to you, to me, they're not ready to play game in and game out in the MLS yet.
Who?
And I don't,
young guys?
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see it. You know, I do not see it. I think losing guy, we said it, guys like Auro, you know, was big. Like this, have you really? Everyone crapped on this guy when he was here. Delgado crapped on him.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
My point is, like, to eat up minutes there. You know, Osorio was hurt this year. Mark Anthony never really got into this. You know, we mentioned the center back spot. You know what? I'm sick of Reggie. I'm sick of TFC being out of it by July.
And that's again, right. And that's exactly what happened this year.
And it happened again. You know, and even though they had those stars come again, it was too little, too late. You know, sorry, it was a lot too late. And I just think because they did the best they could. We saw their quality, but I think the luster is going to wear off. People want to win. You got to win, as you said. So.
I'm not gonna go to BMO Field and pay $17.50 for a warm Stella, Joe, if they're not winning. I don't care who's here.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, you gotta win and you gotta play. Like, you can't, again, if you said it, if you're competing and you're in the mix and you're there, no problem. But it looked like you watching a men's league team with three really good players and everyone else just trying to patch the dam, right? Or keep it from leaking. So that's that.
What do we think about Bernardeschi anyway? Do you think he's really that good, or what do we think, Joe?
I think he's good, Reggie. I think he's a quality player. I think these guys are going to do good. I think they will. I think when you get them a bit more help when they're here, I mean, you see him all over. So he loves the city. He's funny and so on. But on the field, they did do well. Do we expect a lot more from them? Yeah, because I mean, he left at the prime of his career. But the league is also getting better, you know, and that's what people – we can't compare it to top leagues in
Europe. Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
But. No, I know you're not. But do we expect more from him? Yeah, I also do think if you look at his statistics, well, he's got 6-7 goals. You know, he made impacts. He did make an impact. Well, I think it's back to what you said. We just gave away so many games that it actually makes those – players like Insigne and Bernardeschi have to do like even more. I think if we just shored it up a little bit, their contributions would have been, you know, bigger because they did enough in certain games. But when you're having to score 3 and 4 goals to compensate from, you know, calamitous mistakes, what do we always say? It's hard to come back from being down. It's even harder to come back from conceding just inexcusable goals. And that's what TFC gave up. And I think that's where you see Bob Bradley's frustration. I do think he's given up on some of the young players because, again, it's a winning business and you got to win. I think you will see a totally different mentality from TFC next year. More of what we saw the years where they won, where you're going to have a lot more veteran players mixed in with a little bit of youth, but not as much as this year. Let's face it, this year they gambled on youth and it didn't work. They almost kind of got back there when they acquired, you know, Insigne, Crescito, Bernardeschi, et al. Bringing Richie back, that'll be key. Can you bring Richie back?
If you can't, then you have real problems now.
Big one, right? So I think
the whole back line has to be
upgraded. Yeah, I would love to see a Sam Matakubi here. I think he'd be great here. You know, something like that. Who knows what they look at in terms of, you know, young players are looking to bring in. But I think the young player thing, like I said, just in my opinion, I think you might see a TFC revert back to going back to bringing in more proven players that maybe aren't the DP. They are going to have another DP. That's going to help them big time. But I do think they're going to revert back to bringing in more of the veteran player. But look for, obviously, this is not saying anything blockbuster. But that third DP spot will be huge, to say the least.
What do you do with a goalie, defensive mid?
Well, you hardly ever see it with a goalkeeper, Rich.
Be goalie, bring an Oblak.
That'd be great. I think it's what you said. I think, well, I know I said strike, but they might bring in another striker for that or somebody in the midfield, right?
Now we got Achara, we got Jimenez, we got Akinola. Right. Hey, well, what a striker.
And Akinola's been really, I mean, we the other two, we know we said it, but for me, Akinola has to get back to, you know, a better fitness level He was, you know, of course the injury slowed him down, but yeah. I think we saw him take a little bit of a step back this year. And, you know, that was not where we were at a year and a half ago. So
that's right.
TFC, big off season to say the least. As you know, in MLS, that off season comes really quick. So they'll be starting again in February. So they got to figure it out pretty fast.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's all I got to say about TFC. Yeah, change my guy.
You're just ready for your – got a great Arsenal hoodie on. You're ready for the North London Derby, Reg. You're ready for that. So that's it.
I'm waiting for the lineup to come out. That's it on Saturday morning.
You're waiting for that.
And then we'll see how excited I'm going to be.
So Reggie's Gunners are in first place. They are continuing this run. Again, you see going on the bottom here, go visit Max at Soccer Max. Go check him out. We will be doing some shows at Max's place. Sometimes I might be there. Reggie will be here at home, so we'll be doing that. But go visit Soccer Max. Go see our friend Max and Loss. Check out stuff. I was there on Saturday. They are bringing in more the World Cup gear and so on. So go check it out. The World Cup, guys, it is less than 60 days away. This is amazing. Team Canada going to take the field against Belgium, I think, is the first game, Reggie. So am I messing that up? It is Belgium, right?
It's Belgium, yeah.
So it's not that.
They're going to get a result. You heard it here.
Reggie's saying it, so I'll save my predictions. But, again, it's coming less than 60 days away. A historic thing is about to happen, so that's great. We're getting excited. Watch the games this weekend. Like I said, Reggie, I know I'm hoping Reggie has a good result so he has a good weekend. And welcome back to club football. And again, don't forget about the young lads that we tell you about, because look, that 1-2-3 punch is heading to the World Cup. So you never know. To all the young guys and girls listening out there, you know, are watching, dream big and work hard, because look, you can get there too. Reginald, we're done.
That's it.
Well, you know, you have to always finish no matter if I'm hosting. You know what you got to do.
Well, boys, well, guys and gals out there watching the podcast on YouTube. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch as well. We are also on, you can still get it through audio as well. If you don't have time or you want to listen to it in the car, you can still get us on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, Apple Music. We're on every popular podcast platform that you can think of. We're there. So, guys, thanks for watching or thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Top of the league, Joe. Top of the league.